Daf is Pesach and Daf Mem. The Daf began with a list of four things that a person should not do to avoid grain from becoming chametz. First, Mazutcha says that you shouldn't add pre-baked flour to a pot of cooked food, just in case the flour wasn't fully baked, and then it's going to become chametz in the pot of food. Second thing, Rav Yosef says you shouldn't put two kernels of wheat in boiling water together, because one kernel might get stuck inside of the other kernel, so the boiling water is not going to get all the way through, and it might become chametz. And third, Abaye originally says not to burn two stalks of grain together, because juice might come out of one of the stalks of grain and go into the other and make the other one chametz. Rav says no, and no such concern, because it's made peros. Whatever juice comes out of one stalk of grain is only considered made peros anyway. Abaye ultimately changed his mind, but for a totally different reason. Abaye just thought that while juice is flowing out, it's not going to be able to be absorbed in the other one and to make it chametz. Then the fourth thing that we should avoid, Abaye says you shouldn't toast grain in a kli that's standing upright, because the juices in the kli will gather at the bottom of the kli and will cause it to become chametz. And again, Rava says, no, it's made peros. It's not able to be machmetz. Made peros can't cause chim. Then the Gemara goes on to discuss lesisa, soaking grain. Tan Rabbanan ein los sinsar on Pesach. Price says not to soak barley on Pesach. If they were soaked but didn't develop any cracks, then they're mutter, because it obviously did not become chametz. If they did develop cracks, then Rav Chista holds, even if they could potentially now crack when placed over a barrel, then the Tanakhama would say they're usser. Rabbi Yossi would say, no, it's still not too late. You could put it in vinegar, and vinegar will cause it to unchimut, or whatever the reverse of chimut is, to contract, and therefore avoid the chimut entirely. So that's all about barley. What about wheat? So Rabba holds, bal nefesh lo yilsos. Bal nefesh shouldn't do the sisa on wheat. Rav Nachman says, it's mutter even for bal nefesh to soak wheat, and it's necessary to prevent the bread from spoiling. If you want really good bread, you need to do the sisa. And Rava changed his mind a few times. First he said, asur lilsos, not just for bal nefesh to avoid, nobody should do it. Then he said, mutter lilsos, it's mutter to soak wheat, because Mishnah says you can use pas nikia for matzah. How in the world are you going to get pas nikia unless you soak the wheat? And the Gemara brings a few proofs against that assumption. And then third, Rava finally says, hadar amar mitzvah lilsos. He yells that it's a mitzvah to soak the wheat, because there's a requirement of shmira that has to begin before the dough is kneaded. But if you're not going to do lasisa, what are you guarding from? It has to be that there's some sort of chimutz to be able to guard from. Then the Gemara tells you, there was a boat full of wheat that sank, and they had all this wet wheat. They didn't know what to do with it. So first Rava suggested maybe they should sell it to Goyim. But then he said, no, if we sell it to Goyim, the Goy is going to sell it to a Jew, and the Jew is not going to realize that it's chashash chimutz. Just like with klayim, we don't sell a beged shavat bal klayim to a Goy, because he might sell it to a Jew who unknowingly is going to wear shatnis. So Rav said, sell it in small quantities to Jews and just give them enough time. Sell it with in such small quantities that they'll each finish their portion before Pesach, and then you won't have to worry about anything. Then the Gemara brings a brisa, Tan Rabbanan ein molin esekedera b'Pesach. Brisa says flour cannot be added to a pot of food unless vinegar is added immediately afterwards. V'yesham raf nosin esachometz v'acharkach nosin esakemach. Some say you could even put the vinegar first. Even though the vinegar gets a little bit cooked, it might lose some of its potency. It's still strong enough to be able to stop the chimutz. So the Gemara says, who is this Yeshom? It must be Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even vinegar that's already mixed with food can speed up the cooking process. The Gemara tries to associate Rabbi Yossi, who holds that vinegar will reverse the chimutz process, with the Tanu, who says that you can add flour to a pot of food that has vinegar because the vinegar won't allow it to ferment. But the Gemara says, no, maybe Rabbi Yossi only believes vinegar has that power when it's alone, but when it's mixed with other food, maybe vinegar does not have that power. Ula holds we should never add flour to a pot, regardless if or when vinegar is added, because lech lech amrin nazir schar sar lekarmel l'sikrav, just like you tell the nazir, stay far away from the vineyard. What do you need the trouble? What do we need to be adding flour to a pot on Pesach? It's just not a good idea. We want to avoid chametz entirely. Zak the Mishnah, einos nekemach l'toch haroses al l'toch hachardel. We don't put flour into haroses or into mustard, but if it was already done, Tanakama says, Yochel miyad, you should eat it right away before it becomes chametz. Rameir says, no, don't eat it because it might have become chametz. The Gemara brings machlokas amraim, whether that machlokas about what to do if flour was mixed in applies only to the case of mustard or even to the case of charoses. Rav Kahana holds that if the flour went into charoses, then everyone would agree you have to burn it and not eat it. And Rav Huna Brei Rav Yehuda says that it's machlokas tanaim applies both to the case of mustard and to the case of charoses. Gemara tries to prove Rav Kahana correct, but ultimately rejects that proof, and that is Daf Mem.